Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview. I am your host, Doug McBurney, joined in studio, as usual, by my extremely attractive audio engineer. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And as always, we are glad to have you here. And but more than that, we are glad to be here. And you may not understand the depth of how much we appreciate being here at the McBurney compound as opposed to being at the small rental that was destroyed by the hippies, which is where we were all day today. And we came very close to just calling it off, phoning it in, just giving up, not doing a show because we hit something of a brick wall today. We literally hit a brick wall numerous times. I think I told you last week how our 14-year-old daughter, the Bird Whisperer, had, for the first time in her career, dug and constructed a 16-inch concrete footing, an abutment up against the foundation of the house. Well, upon that footing, my extremely attractive audio engineer crafted a cinder block wall. And she did most of the work. I, of course, supervised the project. But the Bird Whisperer mixed the mortar all day. That's all she mixed mortar with a trowel and a bucket in the water. While my extremely attractive audio engineer set the blocks. Every time she put the level on a block and it was level the first time, she said, "Yes, look at that." Boom, level. Sometimes. But there were a couple that defied the laws of physics there for a while. But we managed to get it done. And despite the brick wall, and despite the fact that I'm coming to you a little bit late, I hope you'll forgive me, because we did manage to get back to paradise from the hellhole. So there's a competition in my own mind right now for who is the worst person in my lifetime that I've had to deal with or interact with. And so far, it's between a particular lawyer who shall go unnamed and these hippie white trash scum who trash my house. I'm not sure who has been more of a detriment. Who took more years off my life?
The lawyer
for sure. The lawyer who shall go unnamed. Yep. Still qualifies as the worst human being with whom I've ever had to interact. Although the neighbor at the house, should I tell that story? I'm going to tell you people this, and then you tell me what you would do, okay? So you're living your life. The house next door comes vacant. The owners come to clean it up, and they're there day after day after day after day, working, sweating, bleeding, sweating some more, bleeding some more. And they borrowed your hose the first day because they just needed to hose off some of the filth so they could get into the house. Seemed like a nice enough couple. They had three little kids running around. They're working, sweating, bleeding, hurting themselves, fixing things. And at some point within the first 10 days or so, the owner of the house next door comes to you and he says, "You know, I need to watch a video on how to fix this plumbing issue. I have no internet. Could I please jump on your Wi-Fi?" Well, what would you do? Would you allow this person who has no tattoos, a very limited criminal history that you know nothing about? I mean, me personally, if I were in that situation, I would let the dude jump on my Wi-Fi, okay? Because he's under the sink, soaking wet. I could not have said no. But the neighbor to our rental house said no. "I'm not too big on giving out my password," he said. And I sat there with a pipe wrench in my hand, thinking about how I should respond. I just said, "Okay, buddy. See you later." And he left, and that's it. Now he won't make eye contact. He's out washing something in his front today. He won't even make eye contact with me. So you people tell me what you would do. Am I too liberal with my password and my Wi-Fi security that I wouldn't loan it to a guy who's obviously not some kind of freak or criminal? Or am I just jaded? Maybe I should understand this guy. He's probably got things on his computer that are valuable, secret.
Or something else.
Well, you never know what he's got going on that network. I hadn't thought of that either. A friend of mine said, well, maybe he's got stuff on there he doesn't want anybody to know about. And perhaps that's the only thing that could possibly explain it, because no human being could be that callous to another human being. It simply does not happen. All right, so we're going to officially assume he's up to something. All right. But now should I get to... Oh, I have to tell you, the bird whisperer today, before she began her duty as mortar mixer number one, she went from bird whispering to bunny whispering, because by the time I had dug out the remaining amount of dirt that needed to be dug in order to build this block wall, the bird whisperer was nursing a bunny rabbit in my front yard. She had a Q-tip with Neosporin on it. She's rubbing his cut, feeding him dandelions. at the rental house. Yeah, what did I say? Oh, yeah, well, it is my house. That's another thing. You put an ad up on Craigslist for a rental, and some people, they want to tell you their whole life story. This lady, she emails me. She says, I'm interested in your rental. I'm moving to Golden. We're being transferred from Florida. My husband's coming out. He has an interview. We might be moving there. Could we arrange to look at your house? And I just emailed her back, and I said, I think Westminster's a little too far from Golden. I'm assuming she's from Florida. She might not realize that's like an hour and a half in hell during the commute every day. Nobody wants to do that. She emails me back, says I'm rude, I shouldn't assume anything about her, and blah, 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 who do I think I am telling her how to live her life? And I wrote her back, I said, I just thought it was too far, that's all. And she said, well, what we decide to do is none of your business. So I emailed her back, short email, I said, my house is my business, lady, and it's not for you, move on. And fortunately, I never heard back from her. Hopefully, there's not a lawsuit in the works. Anyway, so the world has kept on spinning and news has kept on happening, I'm certain, but I have not paid much attention, I'll be honest with you. But the one thing I did notice is the Animas River, a story that I talked about last week that should be the biggest story of the week as far as government incompetence, corruption, just utter confusion, and an environmental disaster. There's no doubt it's an environmental disaster when you spill heavy metals into a river. I mean, can you imagine if this had happened when Ronald Reagan was the president? They would have called for his head every day. There would have been a drumbeat. Or worse yet, George W. Bush. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the daily witch hunt on CNN and MSNBC? But Barry Ho and his cadre of bull dykes who run the government? They can pour heavy metals into a river and then come there the next week and say, look, the river's healing itself. This Gina McCarthy, who I never heard of this person. She's some bull dyke running the EPA, in my opinion. Well, that's how she comes off. I don't know her personally. She's running the EPA. She flies into Colorado, down to New Mexico, and literally says the river is repairing itself. At which point, not one single reporter asked her, well, why couldn't you let the mine repair itself? Why'd you have to go poking holes in the mine? And if the river can repair itself, what do we need the EPA for? Could you clear that up for me? I mean, beside the fact that you want a paycheck and a fat pension, is there any excuse for you people at all? But nobody asked her anything. She didn't take any questions, and she doesn't have to. Because liberals are all deranged together. And they're willing to let each other lie to themselves and to each other and say whatever they want, and they get away with whatever they want because they're all a bunch of mentally deranged, incompetent, suicidal, idiot children. And they're going to get us all killed. You know who they got killed this past couple of weeks? Is a whole lot of fish and wildlife along the Animas River. And they do it without so much as a batting of the eye. And the press lets them get away with it. And it's just disgusting. All right, but we already knew we didn't need the EPA, right? So now I'm just being redundant, I suppose. All right, so should we get into the what everyone thought was going to be the big news of the week, of course, was down in Ferguson, Missouri, where George Soros, Van Jones, Valerie Jarrett, and that other homosexualists and bull dykes were organizing, rallying, trying to gin up some more riots. And they tried as best they could, but they were unsuccessful because in Ferguson, it was proved again this past week that there are still more of us than there are of them. There are still more of us, the normal people, than there are of the socialist paper-hanging agitators like the people running around in Ferguson. I have a story here from Vocative.com, a liberal news outlet. They reported that police supporters down in Ferguson cheered the arrest of more than 50 protesters in front of a government building in St. Louis. I'm sorry, not Ferguson. St. Louis. Last Monday afternoon. Arrested were prominent leaders. Okay? DeRay McKesson, John Etta Elzey. You heard of any of these people? They're prominent. What's that? Prominent means they're famous. They're well known. And Cornel West. Now, him we've heard of. And so Cornel West is the only one who I would consider prominent. But anyway, they're agitators, paper hangers, communists, national socialists, as a matter of fact. They're the same people who are behind, what was the hippies who defecated on the police cars? What was that whole thing called? Occupy Wall Street. Remember that? Same type. It's the same bunch. Well, when they tried to agitate down in Missouri, St. Louis, Ferguson, other parts, the people showed up supporting the police. And in fact, a reporter for USA tweeted that police officers appeared to be celebrating the arrest of Cornel West, as well they should, taking photographs with the famous professor and activist agitator. Yeah. So the cops are popping selfies with Cornel West. Hey, look, I'm arresting Cornel West. How cool is that? And the crowds are cheering the police. Following the arrests in St. Louis County declared a state of emergency. Now, you might think that's because they were worried that there was going to be riots, and I'm sure there was some potential for that. But the main reason governing officials declare states of emergency is so that they can grab some state and federal cash. Because as soon as you declare an emergency, the government starts stealing money from some people and giving it to you for your emergency. That's all. That's what that's all about. It's not so much they were afraid of actual riots. It's that they wanted to grab some of that cash for their emergency. Cornel West gets arrested. St. Louis County probably gets $5 million. For the emergency. That's just the way things are working. Now, speaking of an emergency, we go to the economics file this week. The Saudi family is a little bit nervous. I know, what a jump, right? From St. Louis to the Saudi royal family. Well, that's what you get here at the Weekly Worldview. Yep, it's a global show. I mean, we're not on some radio station in some town. We go worldwide via the World Wide Web. We're unconstrained by the traditional bounds of the broadcast media. We're everywhere. And the royal family is nervous this week. There are approximately 15,000 people who are members of the six branches of the Saudi royal family, according to reporters at Breitbart. And for the better part of a century, they've been buying national support with massive social welfare spending. They make all this money from oil, and they turn around and enslave their people in this barbaric form of Islam. And they support them all with welfare because none of them can work because the royal family's pretty much stolen everything from everyone hundreds of years ago. Well, now that the oil price has plunged by 60%, there's a massive budget deficit in the Saudi kingdom. And, Breitbart reports that their foreign exchange reserves could be wiped out in as little as 4 years. Saudi Arabia's oil and gas sector makes up 45% of their gross domestic product, and it funds about 80% of the government's budget. And it accounts for 90% of Saudi Arabia's exports. 90%? What else could Saudi Arabia possibly export besides oil? Could we think about that for a second? Is there anything, I mean, besides besides Wahhabism, is there anything else?
I don't know.
I can't think of anything else. Maybe rugs? Heroin? I don't know what the other 10% could possibly be. Slave girls, maybe? I can't imagine. But apparently, anyway, they're in trouble. And now, with the Chinese economy crashing, Saudi Arabia could be in real... Oh, and Saudi Arabia has launched an air campaign against the Islamic State. Why? Because Barry Ho won't do it. And because the Western democracies no longer have the stones to go after evil where it lives. And so Saudi Arabia and I think Jordan are being called upon to lead that. That'll end well. Oh, yeah. Let's see. Oh, Saudi Arabia. Now, this I did not know. Now, I understand why they're a little nervous. Saudi Arabia imports 70% of its food and does not produce any military hardware, cars, refrigerators, civil airplanes, ships, or most manufactured goods. Its only real domestic industry is petrochemicals. Yeah, of the 30 million people who live in Saudi Arabia, only 5.5 million work. And 3 million of those work directly for the government, which is the Saudi royal family. And the small private sector tends to employ foreigners. Why? Because everyone in Saudi Arabia has been on welfare for three generations. They don't know how to work. Anyway, that whole house of cards, house of Saud, I mean, it's in trouble. It could come crashing down, and it couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of folks. I love that scream. Yeah. It's a good scream. I think there's a better scream in that song. You know, everyone always said that the lead singer from The Who had the greatest scream with Teenage Wasteland. He's got nothing. He's got nothing on Chris Cornell.
No.
But that's beside the point.
That was through the Saudi.
That was for the Saudis? Yeah, they're feeling California, but looking Minnesota.
Minnesota's better than Saudi,
yeah.
Right?
Well, Minnesota's way better than Saudi Arabia. Are you kidding me? Minnesota's a fantastic place. I've been to Minneapolis. In fact, it's an awesome city. I loved it. And the people there are fantastic, as far as I can recall. And I met like a half a dozen of them, and I liked them all. So I haven't met a Saudi that I didn't like, but I don't believe I've met a Saudi. So I can't really judge. But if I had my dithers of where I had to live, if I had to choose Riyadh or Minneapolis-St. Paul, I'm going to Minneapolis-St. Paul. Just because they're willing to name a city after St. Paul in Minneapolis, where in Saudi Arabia they'll cut off your head if you name anything after St. Paul. So you know how many Christian churches there are in Saudi Arabia? Yes. Right, none. Not a single one. It's illegal. Meanwhile, they're building mosques in Minneapolis faster than you can come up with a witty reference. All right. All right, now I'm a little punchy, folks. I've been breathing in mortar dust all day, okay? Also, the hippie fever that we were both subjected to last week, we are not clear of that yet. No, we are still infested to some degree, with the hippie fever. We got the runny nose, we got the cough, we got the sore throat. It's what happens when you rub up against stuff that's been inhabited by hippie white trash scum. So we haven't even been to church in 2 weeks, and I hate that. I hate it. But this block wall, the thing is, the backyard was threatening to encroach on the property itself. In fact, some of it had encroached into the basement. So, and anyway, I have to work. I have to feed the family. We have a life, I think, or we did anyway. We don't really have one right now.
Well, today was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a blast. All right, now, speaking of fun, it was fun. You like that?
Yeah.
All right, maybe we'll start a bricklaying business. My extremely attractive audio engineer compared building a block wall to Tetris. She said, it's great. It's like Tetris. Except every block weighs 40 pounds. And will cut your hands to shreds. Oh, my goodness. Not friendly, those cinder blocks, I'll tell you what. All right. Now, speaking of not friendly, I got a story here from Politico. It's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 paragraphs. The only thing I underlined was Joe Biden may jump into the Democratic presidential race. Because the rest of it, I really could care less. I just think it's hilarious. And I think this is another low watermark of the Democrat Party and the country in general, that Joe Biden could seriously be considered by anyone to have any chance of ever being the president of the United States. If that's how far America has fallen, then surely the end is near. Joe Biden, give me a break. This, you know what? It's in a similar vein, he said, as he struggled to form complete sentences. In a similar vein, it amazes me that as recently as this past Friday, I have heard people who are considered credible commentators, reporters, writers, essayists, columnists, people who are considered to be somebody in the business, they are still acting as if Hillary Clinton could possibly get the nomination. To me, that's amazing that you could have any credibility and not understand. And in fact, I think Rush Limbaugh, who I've listened to, by the way, since I landed in San Diego in April of 1990, I got a little one-bedroom furnished apartment. Everything was yellow. It was awesome. Oceanside, California. Yeah, I had just gotten out of the service. And the one thing I knew was that I did not want to go back to West Texas. That's the only thing I really knew in life. I didn't want to go back to where I came from because I hadn't gotten to where I was going yet. So I landed in Oceanside and I rented a studio, fully furnished. Everything was yellow, that plastic, what is it called? The plastic that Americans used to love so much that they made all their countertops out of. Everything. Plastic formica. The table, the nightstand, and the headboard. That's all there was. There was a kitchen table, a nightstand. Oh, yeah, and the couch was a couch. But everything else was bright yellow formica. And the first thing I remember, one of the first things I did was I bought a clock radio. I had to wake up and go find a job. So I bought a little clock radio. I'm in my glowing yellow apartment. The apartment complex, by the way, was called the Bunkers because they looked like bunkers built into the side of a hill during World War II. Right there off of, what street was that? Right off Oceanside Boulevard.
Apple Street,
yeah, for those of you who are in the know. So the very first morning I woke up back in America outside of the military service as a civilian with my own apartment and my own stuff. I had a yellow Subaru, by the way. My buddy up at Camp Pendleton, he sells me his yellow Subaru right before he gets out of, he went off. And so I'm driving a yellow Subaru. I'm living in a yellow apartment. And I bought a little clock radio. And the very first morning I woke up, it was 9 a.m. And who was on? Bump, bump, ba-da-da-boom, ba-da-da-da. It was Rush Limbaugh. I'd never heard anything like that. When I left America in 1986, 7, anyway, there was no talk radio. I come back to America, well, here's this guy named Rush Limbaugh. Anyway, so I've been listening for a while. What was I getting at? Oh, Rush Limbaugh finally said what I said, I think, a month ago. He said, I think maybe Hillary won't be the nominee. I'm slapping my dashboard saying, well, finally, Rush. And he's at the top of the food chain. Anyway, yeah, I'm back on talk radio. I'm willing to admit it. Yeah, I got off it for a while, but it's like smoking. It's hard. You start doing something in 1990, 25 years later, it's kind of hard. But I did. I was off it for almost a year. But I listen every once in a while, and I heard Rush say that. And I thought, well, maybe Rush is tuning into my show. I thought. Not really. I didn't think that at all. I just thought that Rush Limbaugh is obviously more careful about what he says and when he makes predictions. But it's been obvious to me for months that everybody hates Hillary Clinton. It's so obvious, the visceral hatred that you see in everyone. Left, right, center, normal, deranged, sex perverts, abortionists, homosexualists. The only thing we all have in common is we all hate Hillary Clinton. And so she's toast. Joe Biden, of course, he floated the story of his son. His son recently passed of brain cancer, and that's a horrible thing. And his son asked his dad to run, and I don't know. So I guess Biden may throw his hat in the ring for whatever that's worth. Oh, yeah. Oh, my real estate agent. By the way, I'll never use a real estate agent again. Although I like this guy. He's a good guy. He made $25,000 for driving me around for approximately 4 hours. That's a pretty good gig. My real estate agent, he sent me a meme. Are you familiar with memes? Nobody used to be familiar with memes except, you know, poets. But now everybody knows what a meme is. Everyone's got a meme that they put up on Facebook. And there's good ones and bad ones. Anyway, my real estate agent sent me a meme that was Bubba, Bill, Jeff Clinton, and Barry Ho on the golf course together. And Bill is saying to Barry, hey, man, if you put Hillary in jail, I'm free to date, right? Oh, no, it was Bill and Hillary.
Yeah.
It was Bill and Hillary.
Yeah.
I messed that all up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was Bill and Hillary, and Bill is saying to Hillary, hey, if you go to prison, I'm free to date, right? Anyway, I thought that was funny. At the moment, whatever. It's my real estate agent trolling for some business. He wants me to sell this house because I told him, I said, this house is going to kill me. So I could sell it. And what I wanted to say to him was, yeah, but I can sell it. And I'll never use a real estate agent again, never as long as I live. I only did it as a favor to him because 20 years ago, he helped me and my extremely attractive audio engineer find our very first house. And so to repay him 20 years later, we called him out of the blue and said, hey, you want to help us sell this house? And again, he made about 25 grand for driving us around for about 4 hours. Great guy, though. Nice guy. Now, where was I? Oh, yeah, the presidency. Let's go to the Secret Service. Oh, have I been clear about the fact that Hillary Clinton will not be the nominee? I think I've made that clear. The United States Secret Service is planning to hire 1,100 staff members. To me, that seems like a lot. But they're responsible for a lot of stuff, and they've had to fire a lot of people. Most of this story I pulled down off the Reuters wire is going through all the various scandals that have taken place since the assassination of William McKinley. Well, no, that's when they were founded. No, from when the knife-wielding man jumped the fence and ran into the White House. You guys remember that? He ran into the White House. So... And then there were the Latin American, all that. There's just so many scandals lately that, they're going to hire 1,100 people over the next 5 years. That's not that many, I suppose. And the Secret Service is probably one of the few government agencies where it's not just a make-work project where they're hiring their nephews and stuff. So I'm okay with that, I suppose. And hopefully they get rid of all the morons. Although, you know, the fish rots from the head down, he said. Yeah, so fish rots from the head down. So the reason the Secret Service is a disaster is because the president is an un-American communist sapper snuck under the wire trying to destroy headquarters. Yeah, that's why. All right, now, let's go quickly to the personhood file. If you people are not familiar with personhood, personhood is a movement that started in 1974 or 5. But it was quickly squelched by the lawyers in the pro-life industry who saw that they could make a real handsome living parrying and fighting and having legal battles and fundraising during elections while working to make abortion more rare or something like that. Anyway, the whole pro-life movement was hijacked by a bunch of lawyers back in the mid-70s. And people who actually thought that the reason we can't kill these babies is because they're people, well, they were pretty much silenced up until about 8 years ago. And we have tried. I'm a member of the movement, a low-ranking functionary. And we have put it on the ballot, and we have given the voters their opportunity to, in writing, to record how they feel about the right to life of an unborn human person. And the vast majority of them have said they do not care, and they are all for killing more babies. But at least we got them to record their position in person. Well, Sten Express says that they're cutting their ties with the Women's Health Organization, Planned Parenthood. By the way, women's health, when you hear that term, you know what that means? Abortion. Right, because every other kind of health care that a woman undergoes, very similar to what a man undergoes. And it could just be called health care, except for the abortion thing. That's specifically women's health care. Yeah. I know a woman could get a pap smear and a man can't, right? But men can have things checked out that women can't, and we don't call that men's health care. It's abortion. Anyway, they say Stem Express, by the way, is an evil bunch of just utilitarian vampires. Vampires who go around collecting body parts, following the letter of the law, they say, from abortion clinics. They're the ones who collect the baby parts and sell them to the Frankenstein scientists who make skincare cream and everything else out of these murdered human persons. Well, Stem Express, who should all be rounded up and arrested, frankly, their business should be shut down. They say we value our various partnerships, but we feel it prudent to terminate activities with Planned Parenthood. The company said in a statement. The reporter writes, this is what the company said in a statement. You know why? Because no one at Stem Express had the stones to stand up in front of a camera and say a word about this, because it's one of the most horrible, criminal, disgusting, foul, and vile acts ever to have been recorded in the annals of human history. And Stem Express, why won't they get up in front of a camera and say something about it? Because dealing in baby parts is actually their business. All right, we're coming back. It's the Weekly Worldview. I didn't finish the Stem Express story, but I have to tell you what the company said in a statement in addition to what they said earlier, because nobody will actually go on camera and admit that they work for Stem Express. The company said that it wants to remain focused on its goal of accelerating research, advancing medicine, and saving lives and devouring the bodies of murdered children, which is what they do. Well, no, they don't devour them. They feed them to scientists. Someone else actually devours them. Can you believe there's a company in our country that operates legally, that trades in the parts of murdered people? Am I in America? Where am I? What happened? This is unbelievable. And this all, of course, comes on the heels of the latest video from the Center for Medical Progress, Stem Express. Stem Express got a court order against them saying they could not release any more videos with Stem Express employees on it. Now, that was reported in the media as if the... It was reported, let me just put it this way. It was reported as if the Supreme Court had shut down the Center for Medical Progress and said you can't release any more videos. But that's not what the judges ruled. But if you're a casual observer like myself, living your life, you're not focused on every sentence, every period, every paragraph of this story. When I heard it, it sounded to me as if the Center for Medical Progress could not release any more videos. And see, that is what the media does, the liberal medstream media. They report things in a manner that the average person could take it the wrong way, and they're okay with that because what they want the American people to perceive is that the Center for Medical Progress pulled a fast one on Planned Parenthood and got shut down by a judge. That's what they want people to think. But that's not what happened. STEM Express, that's the company that feeds babies to scientists. STEM Express got a judge to order that the Center for Medical Progress no longer release videos with their employees on them. That's all. That's why Center for Medical Progress has continued to release these horrifying videos of ghouls picking through the parts of murdered babies. STEM Express, let's see here. I got this story from the Center for Medical Progress website. STEM Express techs working in Planned Parenthood clinics sometimes harvested fetal parts without obtaining consent from the patients. Now, see, this is a former STEM Express employee. And so the Center for Medical Progress can release that video, and they did. And so now the focus with this latest video is now on the fact that they're doing it without consent. And I'll just read you the ghoulish law that is on our books here in America. This is the land of the free and the home of the brave and all that. Truth, justice, the American way. Remember that? Remember what we fought for when we served? Remember what you thought of when you looked at the flag? Well, get this. Federal law on the procurement and use of human fetal tissue require that patients consent to the tissue donation subsequent to consenting to the abortion procedure. That's 40 U.S. Code 289G-1. That is a law in America. Instructions on how to collect the parts of murdered people. In this case, pre-born innocent children. Basically, we have a law in America that says one person can consent to the murder of another weaker person who that first person doesn't want around. And then once they consent to the murder of that person, they can consent to have that person chopped up and their parts shipped off to various Frankenstein monsters all over the country. That's America circa 2015. And it ain't what I signed up for, okay? That ain't what I signed up for. I'm a little annoyed at this focus on consent because it just seems like focusing on the legal minutiae instead of the overriding horror of the fact that nearly 60 million innocent people, children as a matter of fact, have been murdered in this country, and we're now taken to shipping their body parts around after we pick through them in a petri dish or on an exam table. Shocking. All right, and here's the thing. Now that we've been allowing the murder of innocent children in our midst for generation after generation, the younger kids coming up, they're completely unmoored from anything godly. They have not a clue about right or wrong or heaven or hell or truth or lies or any of that. They're completely self-absorbed. They're interested in the lust of their flesh and pleasure, and they're dangerous. I've got a story here from The Independent over in the United Kingdom. The body of a 23-year-old French art history student has been found decomposing in acid at her Toulouse apartment in what prosecutors have said was part of a murder plot inspired by the TV series Breaking Bad. So those of you in the audience who may be familiar with this program, I had to read this. Let's see. Apparently in this TV show, one of the characters did this to another person, put him in acid. Well, the French students have been charged with murdering Eva Borceau, who was reportedly killed over a drug debt. She was a 23-year-old French art history student. The students are aged between 19 and 23. And over a drug debt, they stuffed a woman in a vat full of acid. And well, they're completely disconnected from the Christian heritage of the French nation. And it's just going to get very ugly, that's all. What more can you say about something like that? And then another thing, so that the young people can no longer tell right from wrong, and they're killing each other in more and more vicious, brutal, and creative ways. Meanwhile, the people who are at the top of the food chain, the people who basically run the world, the captains of industry, the heads of corporations, the governing officials, the judges, the lawyers, what are they worried about? The world population. Yes, well, Science Daily reports that the world's population will increase from 7.3 billion today to 9.7 billion in 2050 and over 11 billion by the end of the century. And they say rapid population growth in high fertility countries, well, it could exacerbate a range of existing problems. Resource scarcity, pollution, unemployment, low wages, poverty. It could all get worse with all these people. Well, what they don't understand is that a lot of people can also help. You know, problems like unemployment, low wages, poverty, resource scarcity. Well, if you have a lot of people thinking, doing, living, they could help with that. But they can only help if there is justice and if people are free. Otherwise, if you're living in a socialist utopia, yes, more people is a problem because you can only steal so much money. And eventually there's too many people and they all end up poor. They all end up hating you. And eventually they end up killing you and either stringing you up in the square or chopping your head off. If you're the socialist leader of the utopia there. So, but I'm not a utopian and I'm not a socialist. And so if there's more people and there is justice and those people are free, I say more power to them. 11 billion, let's go for 22 billion. How about that? By the way, I heard an interview. I wish I'd have made a note of this. I heard an interview on Real Science Radio this past week, maybe a week ago. A mathematician-type fella who ran the math on the global population, and there's an algorithm, apparently, throughout history for wars and pestilence and disease and mass death events. There's an algorithm that's been pretty consistent throughout history. And so if the world, if the universe, the planet Earth, I'm sorry, if the human population were 1 million years old, or how old do they say it is? Oh, 40,000 years old. So if the human population were actually 40,000 years old, there'd be like, I forget the exact number, a trillion would be the population. About a trillion. Maybe it was 10 trillion. It was some outrageous number. So all you big banger, atheist, God-hating, self-loving, Darwinian morons, the math doesn't even work for the population, you idiots. How could you be so stupid as to believe something like that? And these people, this is the unpopulation division, by the way, the story I'm reading from here, the unpopulation division. That's what they're all about, is unpopulation. They're about handing out abortifacients, birth control, condoms, and abortions in the third world. That's what the unpopulation division is all about. They work hand in hand, by the way, by the International Planned Parenthood. What's it called? Planned Parenthood International? Anyway, Planned Parenthood doesn't just murder young innocent people in America. They do it all over the world. I posted a video up on my Facebook feed earlier this week of it was a Latin American country. Just shocking. I could not watch the whole video. Could not watch it. It was an abortionist with a baby in his hand. And the way he treated that baby, it just cannot be uttered. The words cannot be uttered for the level of vile, wicked, evil darkness that was going on right there. Anyway, it's up there on my Facebook feed. It was put together by American Right to Life. I'm sure you can find it. All right. Meanwhile, let's talk about origins from the science, really, file. Yes, as opposed to the science, really, file. Those are two different files, you see. In fact, that last story, I missed my cue. The last story about world population and the unpopulation division, that was from the science. Really? File. But now we move to the science. Really? No. I can't get it right. All right. Too many mortar fumes, I think. From the science really file, a comet may reveal clues to our origins. Yes. Let's see here. Last Thursday, comet 67P Churyumov Gerasimenko. Okay. That's a comet. It made its closest approach to the sun. It's perihelion, for those of you who are in the know. That's right before it whips around the sun and soars back deeper out into space. This is from Bloomberg. Apparently, the Rosetta vehicle, spacecraft, had to back away from this comet. It was as close as about 100 miles away. It had to back off because all kinds of ice and stuff is spraying off this thing. The dust is flying faster and faster. So the Rosetta spacecraft is observing. It had to back off a little bit. And Rosetta, they say, is sniffing for new molecules. Data from the mission's surface probe, Philae, published in July, have already turned up chemicals that scientists hadn't previously seen on a comet. Now that, to me, is interesting. When you find stuff you've never seen. They found acetone on the comet. Now, one thing about acetone, though, scientists have seen it before on Earth. Because all the comets, they came from the Earth. Okay? Not to put too fine a point on it, but if you haven't read Walt Brown's book, In the Beginning, which is all about how the Earth cracked open and how the flood took place and how tons and tons of Earth were ejected out into space and they're flying around out there and that's where the comets and the meteorites. Check the book out. It's a little over your head, I guarantee you, unless you're a PhD like Walt. You have to stop and look stuff up a lot, but it's worth it. The acetone, why is there acetone on the comet? Because the comet came from Earth. And so the closer they look at it, we will get clues to our origins. Yeah. Let's see. Bloomberg reports that the solar system contains pockets of basic organic chemistry. Small molecules of carbon, hydrogen, and nitrogen that we think, at Bloomberg, once gave rise to living things. Isn't that an interesting statement? Molecules of carbon, hydrogen, and nitrogen gave rise to living things. To which any rational person would say, oh, how's that? How could hydrogen or nitrogen get together and decide they're going to make life? Do you think they had a conversation? No, maybe carbon. Maybe that's why they brought carbon in. They weren't sure what to do. So they had carbon came in and he had a bar napkin, and he wrote it out for them. Okay, so molecules, ladies and gentlemen, they don't give rise to anything. They're not alive. The only thing that gives rise to living things is something else that's alive. That's all. And that's just rational. If you believe otherwise, you're irrational. And you're probably stupid as well. Yeah. Well, Donald Trump said it's okay to call people stupid. And if you believe that life arose out of non-life, well, you're stupid. And that's a stupid thing to say. A stupid thing to teach your kids. And it's a stupid thing to say at a dinner party. Some small-minded, moronic people may think that you're smart. Anything else here? Bloomberg says, additional evidence to scientists. Rosetta should return additional evidence to scientists. They try to figure out how this ball of ice and dust all came together. How'd that happen? It's dust. Ice. Where's ice must mean water. Where's their water? In the whole universe? Where's their water? The Earth, maybe? The comet did not come together. The comet was ejected from Earth. And, you know, all the chemicals that they discuss in this article, by the way, are common to one planet, Earth, just so you know. And I just wish that one of these spacecraft looking at one of these comets could definitely find something that would give us clues to our origins. I'm praying for the day that they look at the comet and they find an earring. Now that is what a young boy from Boston who goes to the Berklee School of Music can do with a 12-bar blues. Now that is back when rock and roll was alive. Billy Squire. Wow. Whew, I'm sweating from that one. Wow, that was awesome. All right. Now, we got to try to get back into the... we did the comment. Oh, man, never truly get over a relationship breakup. This is from the Independent in the United Kingdom. They say, when a breakup occurs, men may never truly get over it. Researchers have found that men suffer the impact of the loss acutely. It sinks in and they have to start competing all over again for a significant other. This is from researchers at Binghamton University. Where the researchers report that women, you see, they've evolved, to invest far more in a relationship than a man. A brief romantic encounter could lead to 9 months of pregnancy. That's in the evolutionary chain, you see. While the man may have left the scene literally minutes after the encounter. But surprisingly, while women reported higher levels of emotional investment and pain when a relationship came to an end than men did. But men could be, the pain for men could be felt deeply for months or even years. So that's the thing. See, men, it sticks in your craw and it eats away at you for, that's true too. I've known a number of men in my lifetime who have been so utterly devastated when they lost their wife that their whole life is ruined and they lose virtually everything. They go into a drug-addled tailspin. I've seen it. And the bottom line is, I don't buy this research about the evolutionary difference between men and women. That's all hogwash. The bottom line is, the human heart was not designed to be broken, and none of us ever get over that. None of us ever get over it. I called a girl from my high school. This is probably 10 years ago. I called a girl from my high school and I just apologized to her for the way I behaved because I was such a rotten, low-life scumbag that I called her up and I apologized to her because I felt so bad. And here's the thing. Kids today, it's the hookup culture, right? And they think they can hook up and then disconnect and just go on with their life. But what they're doing is they're destroying their psyche and their soul. They're destroying their mind and their soul a little piece at a time because every one of those hurts, and it hurts permanently, and you never get over that. And none of us ever get over it. And that's why I encourage young people, meet somebody young. Remember that you can fall in love with anyone. And when you find someone that you can deal with, that you can have a reasonable conversation with and they don't rub you the wrong way, that's a person you could probably marry. And then live the rest of your life with them, you'll be happy. Get married young and stay together through the long haul and you'll do very well in life. But if you're hooking up at clubs and you're going to bars and you're dating and shacking up, you're only going to hurt yourself because you are not designed that way. You were designed to have intimate communion with one person for life. And that's the best way to do it for all you young folks out there. For all you parents who have teenage kids, it's very important that you teach them that. It's not all about romance and drippy and all that and the fast accelerated heart rate and all that stuff. Love is about a lot more than that. And you were not designed to have your heart broken, and that's why nobody ever gets over it. By the way, the researchers in this article from... the prestigious Binghamton University report that breakups occur three times on average for U.S. and U.K. adults. So that means each American and British adult goes through three significant breakups. That means that they were in a sexual relationship and it breaks up. And it's devastating and it's horrible. And just try to keep your kids away from that.
Are you saying I'm just
No, I'm not just tolerating you. I'm just saying that when I first met you, we got along okay. I didn't dislike you. You didn't dislike me.
That's it.
That's all it takes. I said, hey, she seems all right. And then you see what happens is over time, then you fall in love. And then pretty soon it's devoted love, passionate, devoted love that wild horses couldn't drag me away. All right? So, but you can't have wild horses on the first night that you met at a nightclub. Wild horses comes like 20 years later, if you're lucky. Maybe, if you're lucky. Maybe if you're really lucky, it comes like 2.5 years later. That's great. I'm a little more hard-headed than some. I don't even know if I want to do any more of this news. We're almost out of time. Let's see here. I got a report from the New York Times on a kid who's in he's in solitary confinement 23 hours a day. 16 years old, he's locked up in prison. They say he's mentally ill. He was bipolar, schizophrenia. Started a fire and burned down his family's house at the age of 4. Most recently, whatever. I feel sorry for the kid. He shouldn't be locked up like that. All right? No. Most recently, what was his most recent crime? Armed robbery at a store in Hattiesburg. Yeah, see, he should have been put to death. Oh, by the way, this whole story in the New York Times, they go through this kid's entire life story. Not a word about his father nor from his father. Only his mother and his aunt are quoted. New York City kid. Yeah. No, I'm sorry, Mississippi. Mississippi, another kid in Mississippi with no dad ends up in solitary confinement at 16. Disgusting what the proctocracy has done. The lawyers who run America put this kid in solitary confinement. If you read the article, it's disturbing. I would link to it, but I don't have time to blog after the show. I have to go to sleep. Another court in Colorado has ruled against the Masterpiece Cake Shop because this Christian would not decorate a cake with some pro-homosexual words. The judge says that they're rotten people. Listen to how the New York Times reports this story. Similar rulings of homosexuals against Christian bakers, butchers, bakers, candlestick makers. Similar rulings across the country that have been cheered by civil rights groups but attacked by conservative Christians. Well, now, if you're the average person, you're reading through the story, who do you want to be with? You want to be with the people who cheer or the people who are attacked? They're attacking. Just the subtle way that journalism is perverted and corrupt. They report the story with a natural bias toward the homosexualists and against the normal people, who they call conservative Christian. Conservative Christian just means you're normal. That's all. Just a normal person. Let's see. Do I want to do anything? Oh, this couple, by the way, I have to get the guy's name in. Jack the Baker. Surely his name is here somewhere, right? I mean, it is the New York Times, after all. Jack Phillips. Finally found it down in paragraph number 7. Whereas the homosexual couple, Charlie and David, I've seen these. This has been going on for a year, maybe 2 years. I forget. But the one guy is definitely going to be dead of AIDS before this case gets to the Supreme Court. Because this guy looks like he's lost 100 pounds since this case started. And he only weighed like 160 to begin with. I mean, that guy looks really bad. And by the way, I've watched a homosexual die of AIDS. I've watched it happen over the course of about a year. A friend of my uncle's died of AIDS, and I watched it. I saw him probably once or twice a month for the course of a year, year and a half, until he looked like this guy. I don't know if it's Charlie or David, but I've seen it happen, and I'm telling you what, it's rough. This was in the early 90s when I saw it. But this guy looks terrible, that's all. So he's either that or he's strung out on drugs. I don't know. I can't believe the two are still together. That's what's shocking. All right, so there's the news. I don't want to do any more of that. Oh, a county clerk. Two county clerks in Kentucky have refused to issue marriage licenses to deviant sex perverts who want to get married at their courthouse. And the governor has told them, issue the licenses or resign. The governor of Kentucky has told these free Americans, these are free American people, that they will issue marriage licenses to homosexuals or they must resign, says the governor. Take the mark. You want to keep your job? You want to buy and sell? Take the mark. What did they do? So far, they haven't. No, they've refused. And let's see, there's a group of Christian lawyers who's defending them. Whatever. I don't care. Yeah, Christian lawyers. Anyway, I don't care who's defending them. I'm just happy they did that. Yeah. The doctrine of the lesser magistrate. When the king says do something evil, the lesser magistrate, it's his obligation not to do it. That's all. All right. Meanwhile, Michael Sam says he is stepping away from football. He's taking time away from the game because he's become concerned for his mental health, says Michael Sam. He's the first homosexual football player, openly homosexual, right? Okay. So he's the first openly homosexual football player, and now he says he may be mentally ill, which I said from the beginning. He's a mentally ill sex pervert. Anyone who stands up in front of God and everybody and says what they do in their bedroom and then that's just sick. But he's stepping away from the Canadian Football League, by the way. And he said, but he does say, to this day, I have no regret. No regret. I got no regret, he says, as he steps away from the game because he is, he's mentally ill. That's all. I mean, he said it, not me. He didn't say he's mentally ill. He said he's concerned for his mental health. All right. So I'm concerned for your mental health, too, Michael. I said that from the beginning. You need some counseling because you shouldn't be talking about what you talked about, what you do with other guys. It's just disgusting, man. Just disgusting. All right, now, the fall of Donald Trump. Yeah, the fall of Donald Trump has occurred. You may not be aware yet, but it already has occurred. It happened on Sean Hannity's show this past week when Donald Trump defended Planned Parenthood and said this, if you can believe this, a guy as smart as Donald Trump, who pays attention to things as closely as Donald Trump. Think about it. The guy's worth $8, $9 billion because he's smart, he pays attention, and he knows what's going on. He is familiar with the facts, is Donald Trump. He said of Planned Parenthood, abortion is only a fairly small part of what they do. They are, overall, they do a great service for women. So we have to look at the positive also for Planned Parenthood, said Donald Trump. A fairly small part of what they do? Wow. Well, you know, if you looked at the average daily life of a guard at Auschwitz, herding Jews into the gas chambers was relatively small part of what they did. I mean, the rest of the time, they were getting them off the trains, they were getting their clothes, they were putting their jewelry over here and their shoes over there, and they were doing this, and the actual herding them in. I mean, we have to look at the good, too, right? I mean, they were producing some fine lampshades, were they not? You know what I think of Donald Trump? I think Donald Trump has obviously used the services of Planned Parenthood on more than one occasion. That's just my opinion. I can't think of any other reason that a guy who's this smart, this sharp, and this aware of what's going on could say that abortion is a small part of what Planned Parenthood does, because it's pretty much all they do, folks. And if you don't know that, you just haven't been paying attention. But that's what Donald Trump said. You know what else he said at the end of the interview? This didn't make it into the Mediaite story that I'm commenting on. Donald Trump said, Hannity said, you've been accused of not having a big heart. And Trump said, I have a big heart. I have a big heart. That's why I mentioned Planned Parenthood. We need to help women. Unquote. He actually said that. I have a big heart. That's why I mentioned Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood has killed more women than any other organization in the history of man. And Donald Trump, well, he fell. He's done. Donald Trump is finished. And his official fall is, well, it's in the works. But believe me, folks, Donald Trump, while he may be just what America deserves, at least in my book, he's finished. Because it turns out, not only is he a liberal, which we pretty much all knew that, but he's a denier of reality, and he has sided with the dark side. Donald Trump's not just in the game. No, no. Donald Trump is down with some of the darkest, most brutal, most evil people in history, and that's why no real conservative could ever support Donald Trump, and I'll stop right there because that's the end of the show because we're out of time. I want to thank American Right to Life, KGOV.com, TheologyOnline.com, my other brother Daryl, who makes it all happen here in the Weekly Worldview Studios, and of course my extremely attractive, audio engineer. Should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.